Well, put your hands together and let us welcome Zach Nicholson.
Amen. Thank you. Well, thank you for being here today. It's always a joy to come and see so many familiar faces. A couple of days ago, Joe had just found out that he was called to go do the funeral, and I wasn't able to answer the call, but I got the voicemail, and every time I hear that voice, my heart just leaps for joy. The first words out of his mouth, I'm sure that you guys have heard this, "Glory to God, brother!" Like, it's the greatest thing in the history of the world. And he was just talking to me about it seems like every time I have you speak, or almost every other time you speak, the Lord has something else, because a lot of times he's called away to do something. And I just get so happy. You guys are so blessed to have Joe as your pastor. And I think whenever you look up the word pastor in the Webster's Dictionary, I'm convinced that Joe Voss's picture is right beside that description of pastor. And I think that if you were condemned to go to prison for like the rest of your life, and you sat with Joe for 5 minutes, I'm sure that he would convince you that this is probably the best thing for you, brother. You're going to have an amazing time in there. And you would walk away from that conversation thinking, yeah, I can do this. So, yeah, Joe is amazing, and I just am so excited to be here in his spot. So big shoes to fill. So, a lot of you know me, some of you don't. My name is Zach Nicholson. We have my wife and I, Holly, my 5 kids here. This is our home church. We were married here in September of 1999. All 5 of my children were baptized here. My daughter, we had 2 kids before we left, and I used to lead worship here, and she was 3 years old. With a little microphone in leading worship. We usually had it unplugged or turned down. But she was 3 years old, and now she's going off to college this Thursday. So when you think of the Nicholsons this week, please lift us up in prayer. So one thing that we do, we are missionaries with the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. It's a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week prayer and worship center that's been going on since September of 1999, and y'all actually stream it in the prayer room here, so you can watch it anytime, day or night. And one of the things that I really love about the ministry, and I think the main reason that the Lord has called us there, is anything that we can do to strengthen the ministry that goes on night and day, no matter what time of day, whether it's like a Tuesday morning at 2 a.m., whether it's Christmas Day, 7 a.m., or, you know, a Thursday at 10 p.m., anytime, day or night, you can go to a place in South Kansas City, there's a full worship team up there, glorifying and worshiping God, praising the name of Jesus, and you can go in there and just receive a touch from the Lord and get a word from the Lord and feel encouraged and strengthened and blessed. And it actually goes out to over 200 nations on a web stream. And so we just are so grateful to be a part of that. But as part of your tithes and offerings, and I appreciate that you're taking the tithe today. But as part of that, some of that money goes each month to support our ministry and what we do up there. So we are really missionaries sent out from Faith Community Church. And your prayers and support definitely help us do what we do up there. And I want to invite you on Fridays at 10 a.m., every Friday at 10 a.m., in the prayer room. You can join us on the web stream, or everybody's invited to come up and join us. But we do an intercession set for the fatherless. So we're praying for the ending of abortion, we're praying for children in foster care, for adoptions, and all of these different things. And I am on the microphone prayer team, one of the intercessors. So you can see me 10 a.m. On Fridays lifting up those prayers. So join me sometime. I would love to pray with you guys. Today's message is entitled Believing God, Taking Risks, and Staying the Course. It's the life of Abraham. It's in Genesis chapter 12 through chapter 25. That's the whole life of Abraham. And I really feel like the Lord has sent me here this morning to minister and encourage and strengthen 3 specific groups of people here this morning. And I think that pretty much everybody can fall in these 3 different categories, but the Lord was really specific for highlighting these specific categories. So the first category, or the first group of people that the Lord would like to minister to, are people who are feeling like the Lord is stirring your heart to start doing something new, like maybe he's calling you into a new type of ministry, maybe start a small group Bible study, or he's calling you into a new job, or starting a new business, and you're not quite sure if it's really the Lord or not. I want to do it, but I don't know, and you're just kind of dancing around it, hoping it's the Lord. I feel like the Lord wants you to know, and we'll see some of this through the life of Abraham, but he wants you to know that you're hearing God. Like when you ask him to answer you and you're lifting things up in prayer, like he really does move on our hearts, and he wants you to trust that inner voice, that just that prompting of the Holy Spirit, that still small voice. He is wanting to encourage you today, if it is in your heart, to start to pursue it, and then he'll start to make a way, he'll make things come together. But I really feel like he wants you to step out in faith and try what the Lord is calling you to do. The second group is for those who have actually stepped out in faith and are trying to pursue the Lord in certain areas or whatever you're giving yourself to in ministry or your business or your job, but it's been a real challenge over the last, 6 or 8 months. Obviously, the last year and a half has been pretty crazy with COVID, but really specifically over the last 6, 8 months, a year, you're just feeling that struggle like, man, I thought that I was following God's will. I thought that I was doing the right thing. I thought that I heard him, but it is just not working out the way that I thought it was. And I feel like the Lord wants you to know that you did hear the Lord, and he is going to strengthen you. He's forming you and fashioning you into the image of Christ. And some things, sometimes we just got to go through those hard times to really mold us and make us. And he wants you to know, hang in there. Don't give up. Persevere. And again, we'll see that in the life of Abraham as well, just how he persevered through difficult circumstances. And finally, the last group of people that I feel like the Lord wants to really minister today is if you are feeling a little bit older, feel like you've kind of messed it, maybe the Lord called you to something many, many years ago, or you're just like, oh, I'm just over the hill, I'm going to retire, it's all, I'm kind of done with it. I feel like the Lord's saying, it's not time to retire, it's time to refire, and to awaken some of those old things that he's called us to. And he's saying that if you have breath, I don't care if you're 10 years old or 100 years old, if you have breath in your body and you're still alive on this earth, there's a reason God put you here, right now in Wichita, Kansas, and he's not done with you yet. Your story is not over, no matter your mistakes in the past, no matter your successes in the past. Today is the day that matters. Like, none of us is promised tomorrow. So he's saying that I'm not done with you. I still have plans and purposes for your life. So we're going to dive in right here to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is the Lord calling Abraham. So it says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will bless and make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you'll be a blessing, and I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the world or earth will be blessed. So at this time, God calls Abraham and promises to make him a great nation. And he also tells him to leave the home where he was at and go to a place that he will show him. He didn't say where, he just says, leave, and I'll show you where to go. So to give you a little background about Abraham, he is one of the three biblical patriarchs, one of the fathers of our faith. And many of us grew up in Sunday school or vacation Bible school, or the vacation Bible school over the summer, and you've heard the song, Father Abraham has many sons had Father Abraham. Come on, everybody. You're one of them, and so am I. So what? Let's just praise the Lord. Then what we do? Right arm, Father Abraham. Right? Come on. This is the Father Abraham that we're talking about right here, the father of many nations. So he had a son named Isaac, and then Isaac had a son named Jacob, who the Lord changed his name to Israel, which is where we get the nation of Israel, the people of God, the Jewish people, was direct descendant of this promise right here that I'm going to make you a great nation. And then, of course, we know throughout 1,500 years later that Jesus is born, and that's the ultimate fulfillment of this promise that all of the nations of the earth is going to be blessed through you, is Jesus. And this is the line, and this is the promise that started that whole thing. And so as Abraham steps out, first of all, he believes what God told him to do. And just to give you a little context on why that seems, or why this is just so such a monumental decision, is Abraham lived in Mesopotamia, which is like modern-day Iraq, in a city called Ur. And it even says that his father worshipped idols. So Jehovah was not on their radar at all. Like, they were just a normal pagan culture. And the Lord comes to him and speaks to him and says, hey, what's comfortable right now, you've built a life, this is over. I want you to leave your father's house, and I want you to follow me. And I'm not even telling you where you're going. You're just going to go and follow me and listen to me on the way. So just a crazy, monumental, out-of-nowhere visitation by this God. And so he was 70 years old when he received this calling. So he wasn't a young guy. He wasn't some 25, 30-year-old guy. So he had really laid down roots in the area that they were at, generation after generation after generation. And so he gets this calling at the age of 70, and he packs up his things and he goes. He follows the Lord. So on his journey, he kind of goes through Syria, and in Syria, the Lord visits him again and tells him, you're going to have a son. Like, I think you could kind of infer that if he's going to make you a great nation, then you're going to have children. But on that second encounter, the Lord tells him, you're going to have a son. And so he was about 75 when he had that second encounter. So for those of us who are feeling like, oh, the Lord is kind of done with me, well, actually, Abraham got this major calling at the age of 70 and then visited at 75, promised a son. And then it took 25 years for that promise to be completed before the Lord actually gave him a son. 25 years of waiting, of did I hear the Lord? Did I not hear the Lord? And just the turmoil I can imagine that that produced. So during that time, we can read the Lord's testimony about how he saw Abraham's decisions, how he saw his life, and kind of the Lord's banner over Abraham's life is in Romans chapter 4. It's in your handout here. I'm going to go ahead and turn there and read it to you. So this is Paul writing and just describing the righteousness that comes by faith. Because it says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. So the Lord spoke, Abraham believed it, and then he acted and went ahead and did what the Lord was calling him to do. So that act of faith, that belief, all he did was believe and then acted on it, that was accounted to Abraham as righteousness. And that's what Paul's talking about here, describing righteousness and describing his testimony over the, Abraham's life and his response to the Lord's calling. It says in verse 17, that as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and calls into existence the things that do not exist. And in hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. And he is, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it is counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So it's real key to remember at the end of that, it says it wasn't just for Abraham, like his faith and his journey is for us as well. And so you read this, and you're like, oh my gosh, no wonder the Lord called Abraham. Like, he didn't waver when he considered how old his wife was, how old he was, whenever the Lord called him to this, and he didn't waver. In fact, his faith got stronger and stronger and stronger as that 25 years went on. It's like, what a superhero. I could never, ever attain to that. End of story. I'm just going to go, you know, I'm done. So what I love about the Lord is, and I think that this is one of the greatest apologetics towards about the truth of the Bible and why the Bible is true, it's these biblical characters, almost every one of them, except for Jesus, of course, because he's perfect, but almost every biblical character has some serious, serious character flaws, and they have some great, great sins that they commit, and they do a lot of damage to a lot of people. But the Lord puts that in there as our superheroes to give us hope that, wow, these people are just like us. Like, we mess up just like they did. But weak and broken people are who the Lord uses in the body of Christ to do amazing, awesome things. So I wanted to go just talk a little bit about what Abraham's faith would look like to you and I. Because the Lord looks on the heart. He knows all of the circumstances in our life. He knows why we do this, our upbringing, and he takes all of these different things into consideration when he judges our life and when he looks at our life. Man looks on the outside, and we can only see what's going on out here. We don't know all of the different circumstances and how people are going through and what they're going through. So I just love when he looks at our life in this description of Romans 4 and just knowing some of the things that I'm going to talk about Abraham and some of his warts. God has this amazing, like, filter that he looks at us through. It's called the blood of Jesus. And he overlooks our faults. He knows the end of the story. And even in our mistakes and all these different things, he has such grace and such mercy and such goodness towards us and kindness that this is how he describes his son Abraham. So just a couple of things about Abraham. A lot of you guys know the story. If you haven't heard it or know it well, check it out, Genesis 12 through 25. But a couple of things I want to point out, some of his faults. And I'm not picking on Abraham because we all do this. So he goes to Canaan, right? He finally makes it there in Israel, modern day Israel. And after that huge long journey, I don't know how many years it took, a number of years, and he's finally in the promised land. Well, there's a couple of droughts, some pestilences, and things get pretty tough in the promised land. So two times over the course of his stay there, once he goes to Egypt, and another time he goes to Gerar, which is like Philistia, where the Philistines are, like in southern Israel. Both times he leaves the land that the Lord called him to. And in my mind, I don't know if that was necessarily sin or disobedience, but if you kind of do the math, it's like, you just brought me clear out of this homeland, now I'm here, and now I'm leaving because, like, it's gotten a little bit difficult. So I think there's a little bit of wavering in his faith right there. That's just my opinion. But what happens next, like, this is no way to, like, gloss this one over. This is a pretty big mistake and pretty, like, you're not trusting the Lord here, Brother Abraham. He gives his wife to Pharaoh, and in the other place, Gerar, he gives his wife to Abimelech, the two kings that are over these nations. So he was worried, it says, that his wife is so attractive, and she must have been pretty darn attractive if she's a little bit older, and he's thinking that Pharaoh wants to take her as a wife. But he says, or he just said, hey, you know, I think that the king is going to want you for his wife, and he's going to kill me, and he's just letting his thoughts go crazy. So they come up with a plan in both situations, and he basically lets the kings take his wife, which Sarah is the one that she is where the promise, the big promise that the Lord promised Abraham, it's coming through her, and it's coming through him. So he's just giving up his wife to these two kings. So to me, that's a little bit of wavering in the faith. Whenever you read in Romans 4 that, hey, he only grew stronger in the faith. But it's the Lord's testimony over us, knowing that sometimes our journey goes like this, but he sees the beginning and to the end. And so the last blunder
and this may be the biggest one of all, is after, so he's 86 years old, 11 years after he received the promise of Isaac, he's starting to think, well, maybe we need to help the Lord out again, because I haven't had a son, I'm really starting to get older. So Sarah comes and brings her handmaiden Hagar, and they have a son, and it's Ishmael. Well, that little faux pas right there caused the Arab-Israeli conflict that's been going on for 3,500 years, Isaac and Ishmael, like always going after each other. And so not necessarily trusting the Lord right there got them into a lot of trouble. And the reason I say that is because we just read in Romans 4 how Paul describes Abraham's faith. He didn't waver, he kept going. And so the point of that story is not to pick on Abraham, but it says at the end of chapter 4 there that that story is not just for Abraham, it's for us. This is how I see your lives. This is how I see your mistakes. I'm the author and finisher of your faith, and I'm going to get you to where you need to go. Just don't quit. Stick with it. So I wanted to talk about the staying the course. So Abraham finally, after 25 years, receives Isaac. He receives the blessing, like, this is it. Finally, after persevering all these years, I'm 100 years old, and the Lord gives me that son that he had promised. And so at some point later, probably 5 or 10 years later, I don't think that he was a baby, and most scholars don't believe that Isaac was a baby during this time. So about 10 or 12 years later, the Lord comes to him, and he says, guess what? The son that you love and you've treasured and has been promised for so many years, you've persevered, you made all kinds of sacrifices, you've stuck with it, and now we're here. That son, I want you to sacrifice him. I want you to put him on the altar of sacrifice. Because it says the Lord was testing his heart. Because sometimes we have a tendency as people to, and this is just human nature, once you receive the blessing or when things start to get really good, you start to lose sight of the Lord a little bit. And he will come to us a lot and either bring difficult circumstances or just ask us, hey, that blessing, I think that you need to get your priorities reset. And so I cannot imagine that conversation that went on between Abraham and the Lord, like, I just persevered and you gave me this and now you want me to do what? But it says, and I'll read it here actually, it's Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 3, and this is how the Lord described it. It says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering as on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of the young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And so we know the story. At the end of the day, Abraham was getting ready to do the sacrifice, and the Lord provided a lamb. And he didn't sacrifice him, but it really was a test of the Lord's heart, or Abraham's heart, that he's not putting the blessing above his relationship with the Lord. And so I feel like in that, the Lord is calling us to stay the course. Sometimes we have challenges, and sometimes the Lord asks us to do really difficult assignments, and we question sometimes if that was really the Lord, and how am I going to get through this, or even worse yet, when you think that you're following God, like Abraham, and you finally got the blessing, he asked you to do something really hard, and now you're thinking you really messed it. And I just want us to know today, and I feel like the Lord is saying, that you haven't messed it. Persevere. Like, the Lord's testimony of our life is so rich in mercy, in grace, in love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat of Christ. And I used to be so worried about that. And we do have to have the fear of God on Judgment Day, so I want to be clear about that, all right? You want to go there with a clean heart, right? But I used to be so overly scared about Judgment Day, but what it's talking about in 1 Corinthians 3 there, the judgment seat of Christ, it's the Bema seat of Christ, and the idea is like in the Olympics, that's what Paul's trying to put out there, that it's really an awards ceremony. So on Judgment Day, the Lord is celebrating that you made it, you persevered through difficult times. Of course, we're going to have to answer for certain other things, but the idea in 1 Corinthians is a celebration. And we know in the Gospels, it talks about how Jesus says, I will remember every single cup of cold water that you give in my name. The littlest acts of service, like giving somebody a cup of cold water, like how much more when we hear about Matthew 25 that I was naked and you gave me clothes, I was hungry and you gave me food, how much more of those big acts of service will you remember? But he says, I'm even going to remember those little cups of cold water. And so I just want to remind us today that the Lord sees the beginning to the end. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And even though we go through challenging and difficult circumstances and times, he's molding us and he's fashioning us into the image of his son. And I'll say one more thing just with difficult circumstances. I used to really never see God as a judge. And I'm going to date myself because I remember this. It was like 20-some years ago. But I think you guys are going to remember it too. So in September 11th, 2001, right, the terrorist attacks. So I used to just think of God as a God of love, and it's always the devil doing the bad things, and I don't know how exactly it all works at the end of the day. But I do know God sends judgment sometimes, and I do know God chastens us because he's trying to get us where we need to go. And there's just sometimes, and there's some things in the human heart that just will not turn or will not get us to where we need to be without pressure and without, like, judgment or stuff like that happening to get our attention. I remember after 9-1-1, for 3 or 4 months, like, the nation was in such shock that the churches were filled. Like, every church that you go to, every service was filled. Everybody's crying out to the Lord. I was a construction worker doing new home construction. As the planes were coming in, people were just kind of dazed, wandering around like, oh my gosh, what happened? Like, I need to get right with God. These guys that were just smoking pot the day before, listening to all this crazy music and swearing, that stuff starts to happen, and it's like, oh wow, I need to get right with the Lord. So that really shifted my mentality about challenging times and bad circumstances. Of course, we don't want them, but the Lord uses those to help us to be conformed to the image of his son. So as we get ready to close here, the Lord connected me with a guy a long time ago from this church, Chuck Grisham. He's went on to be with the Lord. But he shared a picture of how the Lord sees our lives, and it was just such a profound statement. He had an encounter with the Lord, and I've always remembered it for over 20 years now. But he says, if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, it's like, it takes your breath away the first time you ever see it, because you come up to there, and it's like, it's so vast and so massive, so beautiful. And he says, God is sitting up there in his sovereignty, because it's so peaceful, like, everything just stops. He said, that's God. Like, you're up there as God, overseeing everything. Like, you see the entire world. You see the beginning. You see the end, and it's peaceful. You're totally in control. And then there's this little string way down at the bottom of that canyon, and it literally looks like a tiny little string. But if you're in that string, it's the Colorado River, and it's some of the best whitewater rafting in the world. It's crazy, like number or level 5 rapids, and like when you're in it, like people die, not a lot, but sometimes they die because it's so crazy, and boats are getting overturned, you're hitting rocks, people are getting injured, and that is us. We're in the Colorado River. Sometimes we get shipwrecked, sometimes our boat overturns, sometimes we're having the time of our lives going through these rapids, but the Lord is up there the entire time watching us, beginning to the end. He is the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And your story is not over until he says it's over. Your story is still being written. So going back to the three categories as we get ready to come for communion in just a minute, I really want to reiterate that. And like I said, I think all of us can be in all three of these categories at one point or another, or sometimes all three at the same time. But I really heard the Lord that these are the three areas of our lives that He wants to touch today. So the first part is that believing God and taking risks. That you're unsure if you're hearing the voice of the Lord, if you're unsure of that prompting in your heart, I think He's saying yes. Now, as to the timing of it and all of that, I think we just do like Abraham. I believe it. I'm going to start that process of moving everything that I have across Mesopotamia. I'm going to start that process and then just trust Him. But I think He wants to give you that assurance that you hear the Holy Spirit and He wants you to act out and believe Him and start to move on that. And then that second group is the group that we were just talking about, that you're trying to follow the Lord with all your heart. You've maybe even risked a couple of things and it's backfiring and it's not working out the way that you thought it was going to work out. I think the Lord wants you to know and wants you not to quit. Don't quit. Do not quit. He's the author and the finisher. He's watching you from the Grand Canyon. You're in the Colorado River. He's going to get you there. Do not quit. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to encourage you. He's going to change the season in a second. But you're not missing it. You're not out of the will of God. He's just helping you. He's forming you and fashioning you. And there's just some things in our heart that don't get to where we need Him to be unless we have challenging seasons. So the Lord wants you to see that rightly, that don't think that you're off. And the, you know, the last one, and the third one, persevering, staying the course. So as we get ready to come and take communion, I want us to start to ask the Lord to help us. I want us to ask Him to start to form those circumstances, like if it's some things in your heart that you have wanting to do, just ask the Lord, like just respond and do that simple, yes, Lord, I believe. Lord, help me. Start to put the right things in mind and just say yes, and then just watch Him over the course of the next few weeks. Start to put those circumstances into place. And then if you're going through those challenging times, the Lord wants you to know that there's breakthrough coming, to stay with it, to stick with it. And as we take communion, He wants to visit us and just to remember those things. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Righteousness is just right standing with God. And it's done by a simple act of faith, a simple act of obedience. And so as we take those elements, we serve a real God. Like He's really alive. He's really living on the inside of us. And He just wants us to respond. And so if the worship team wants to go ahead and come up, I'm going to pray. And then as you feel led, just come up here, grab the elements, go ahead and go back to your seat. And then just really allow the Lord to minister to you today, because I really think that you are hearing, we are hearing from the Lord. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to us, and those little, still, small voices, respond to them. So, Father, we just come before You, Lord, and we thank You for the heroes of our faith, for Abraham, for Isaac and Jacob, and just their example to us, that they were not perfect by any means, but, Lord, they believed You. And they had faith in You. They had faith in Your goodness. And so, Lord, these things in the Bible aren't written for their sakes, but they're written for ours as an encouragement. And, Lord, I just ask that today that You would speak to us clearly, and, Lord, that You would give us that assurance that we do hear that still, small voice. And, Lord, we want to respond whenever You move our hearts in any way, Lord. We want to respond in faith. And Father, for those of us going through challenging and difficult circumstances, thinking that we were in Your will and following You, but things just aren't lining up the way that we thought they would turn out and line up. Lord, we know that You're in that. And Lord, we respond right now and ask, Lord, for breakthrough in those areas. Lord, we ask that You would move on our behalf, Lord. And Father, we just thank You for the gift of Your Son, for the blood of Christ that covers our sins. And Lord, we just respond right now with love. So Lord, we love You, we bless You, in Jesus' name.
You guys are dismissed. Please, if you're watching at home, maybe you've never accepted Jesus, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you here at the church office. And if you need prayer this morning, there are people up here to pray for you. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday.